Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello, everybody. It's Paul Neeson with Torah Life Ministries. Thank you again for watching and listening to another devotional from our devotional series, Suffer Well. We are up to the 119th reading, and this one is about honor and who we give our honor to and who we answer to and who we want to answer to. And we look all the way back to the beginning of the scriptures. We see people wanting to be like the world and asking for a king. And that's exactly what we're going to be looking at in today's devotional. So we're going to start the devotional, and then after the devotional, I'm going to do a little teaching about it. But let's read this now. This is from sufferwell.org, the Suffer Well devotional series. It says, Where in my word have I given you dominion over another? From where do you fabricate these ideologies that imprison all mankind? Of course you are void of answers, as there is no spiritually intellect answers for these questions. Any answer well thought out should leave one ashamed for falling into such a matrix of human error. Have I asked you to be kings in the way you interpret kingship? It is you who ask for kings, carnally dominant mindsets, to rule over you. And we look at 1 Samuel 8:5 that says, look, they told him, you are now old and your sons are not like you. Give us a king to judge us and all other nations. I honored your request. That was 1 Samuel 8:5. I honored your request so you would experience the absolute foolishness of your desire. Yet you failed to see it. To this day, you continue to feed the very system you asked for, when all this system does is keep you in slavery. And if you read all of Samuel 8, you'll see that, 1 Samuel 8. It is simply fear that drives your man-made device, and you embrace it as if this system protects you. And I'm going to read 1 Samuel 8 right now so we can look more into this. It says, as Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons to be judges over Israel. Joel and Abijah, his oldest sons, held court in Beersheba. But they were not like their father, for they were greedy for money. They accepted bribes and perverted justice. Finally, all the elders of Israel and Ramah, they all met to discuss this matter with Samuel. Look, they told him, you are now old and your sons are not like you. Give us a king to judge us like all the other nations. Samuel was displeased with their request and went to Yahweh for guidance. Do everything they say, Yahweh replied, for they are rejecting me, not you. They don't want me to be their king any longer. Ever since I brought them from Egypt, they have continually abandoned me and followed other gods, and now they are giving you the same treatment. Do as they ask, but solemnly warn them about the way a king will reign over them. And then Samuel warns against this kingdom. He says, so Samuel passed on Yahweh's warning to the people who were asking him for a king. This is how a king will reign over you, Samuel said. The king will draft your sons and assign them to charlots and charioteers, making them run before his chariots. Some will be generals and captains in his army. Some will be forced to plow his fields and harvest his crops. And some will make his weapons and chariot equipment. The king will take your daughters from you and force them to cook and bake and make perfumes for him. He will take away the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his own officials. He will take a tenth of your grain and your grape harvest and distribute it among his officials and attendants. He will take your male and female slaves and demand the finest of your cattle and donkeys for his own use. He will demand a tenth of your flocks, and you will be his slaves. When that day comes, you will beg for relief from the king you are demanding, but then Yahweh will not help you. But the people refuse to listen to Samuel's warning. Even so, we still want a king, they said. We want to be like the nations around us. Our king will judge us and lead us into battle. So Samuel repeated to Yahweh what the people had said, and Yahweh replied, "Do as they say, give them a king." Then Samuel agreed and sent the people home. Okay, so that's what it says in 1 Samuel 8. And looking here, it says, "It is simply fear that drives your man-made device, and yet you embrace it as if the system protects you. I will certainly show you the end result of your desire to be ruled over. My word discusses it. It is called the eighth beast in the empire." And we look at Revelation 17, 8 to 11. It says, "The beast you saw was once alive, but isn't now. And yet he will soon come up out of the bottomless pit and go into eternal destruction. And the people who belong to this world, whose names were not written in a book of life before the world was made, will be amazed at the reappearance of the beast who had died. This calls for a mind with understanding. The seven heads of the beast represent the seven hills where the woman rules. And they also represent seven kings. Five kings have already fallen, and the sixth now reigns, and the seventh is yet to come. But his reign will be brief. The scarlet beast that was, but is no longer, is the eighth king. He is like the other seven, and he too is headed for destruction." So that's what we read here in Revelation 17, 8, and 11. And continuing with the devotional, it says, "It is the worst man has ever seen. It will come to swallow up even those who believe such rulership and government is of me. It will destroy all those who follow it, including many of my own children who failed to heed my revelation long ago that it would happen. In your crafty design of governing authorities, you have managed to produce paupers and dictators. Both feed off each other in fear and have come to be comfortable in this way of life. You have convinced yourself that it is my will for you. Oh, my dear little ones, how could I ask you to submit to something that bears no resemblance of my rulership? Although I use wicked men for my purpose, I never asked you to honor them. I command that you give honor where honor is due, not where it isn't." And we look at Romans 13:7 that says, "Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority." We continue, it says, "I wish to reveal a secret for you. This matrix in your mind is easily corrected if you would just look at my family for a moment. The Father, the Son, the Spirit have only one way of interacting. We only seek the best for and of each other. There is no other way with us. There is only perfection and beautiful blend of all these from perfection emanates from perfection. Why would I change a perfect government? Perfect government satisfies each soul completely. It does not rule by majority, has no opposing parties, has nothing but complete individual freedom, all while giving every other family member the same freedom. Oh, my children, I will bring you back to a perfect government. I only wish you would have realized yourselves what I offered you long ago or all along. Now free your mind. The matrix is easily solved if you just remove the fear. Ask us to help. We are always willing. And might we remind you that our government, the perfect conscience, the mind of Yahweh, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says in Hebrews 13:8-9, Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So do not be attracted to strange new ideas. Your strength comes from Yahweh's grace, not from rules about food, which don't help those who follow them. Your strength comes from our wonderful Creator and Him alone. Hallelujah. And we finish this with this verse, this devotional with the verse Luke 21, 34 to 36. Luke 21, 34 to 36 says, "Watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware like a trap, for that day will come upon everyone living in the earth. Keep alert at all times and pray that you might be strong enough to escape these coming honors, these coming hurries, and stand before the Son of Man." So As we read this, we understand the warning that Yahweh gave us long ago not to let anyone rule over us. It says in Mark 13:33, and since you don't know when that time will come, be on guard and stay alert. Now, there's many things going on today in our government and prophecies and ideas and rulers and lands. And we might not have certain kings today, but we have certain people leading us today. But Yahweh says he is our leader and Yeshua is the one we follow. And he talks about authority. Look, folks, when you walk into a courtroom and that judge walks in, most of you, if you're wise, you're going to stand. Something that judge says can change your life. There's a reason you're in that courtroom, and something that is said can change your life. Do you giving that judge the authority he deserves, the respect he requires, and he's going to make his decision? But I am telling you, we have a heavenly judge who is far over that earthly judge. And for us to honor that man and not give that heavenly father that same reverence or even more reverence is one of the worst things we can do. And this is what people do. How many of you are bowing down to idols and all these things of this world, but then when our creator, you can't even get on your knees and pray? How many of you are standing for judges of men, but you can't stand up for a wonderful creator and give him respect? You give your divine attention to a basketball game or a sports event. You give your divine attention to all your hobbies, even the horoscopes in the newspaper. But when it comes to reading our creator's word, you let all these distractions get in. How many of you understand what you are giving reverence to and what you are not, and the importance of it, and who you give authority to? How many of you understand that the issue with this? We must submit to authority, folks, but we must understand who our higher authority is. We must understand. Ephesians 1:19 to 21 says, I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Yeshua from the dead and is seated in a place of honor at Yahweh's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler of authority or power or leader or anything else in this world or in the world to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did he not say in the scriptures that he's not going to put the angels over him? No. He is the highest ruler in the land, and we need to give him our authority, all of our authority, and everything. We need to understand that. We need to be an example of that and understand who our king is and who we follow and the land that we occupy, the kingdom that's awaiting us, and the ruler of that kingdom. We must understand the importance of loving our creator fully, 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 fully. And giving him the holy reverence that he deserves. Always, 100% of the time. You ask for a king. You vote for a president. You want our CEO or a leader. And you ignore our creator's words. On top of the chain. You need to love our creator, folks. You need to love him. Colossians 1:2 said, since then you have been raised with Yeshua. Set your hearts on things above, where Yeshua is, seated at the right hand of Yahweh. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. Don't be concerned with earthly judges and earthly kings and earthly authority. Be concerned with the one authority and the true authority in heaven. And listen to him and submit to him and follow his word. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what Yahweh's will is, pleasing and perfect will, his pleasing and wonderful perfect will for you. He tells us over and over and over again in the scriptures what he wants us to do, how he wants us to do it, who he wants us to listen to, and what he wants us to say and not say and do. It's his Torah. It's his guidelines. It's his instructions that so many people decide not to listen to. And then they listen to advice from someone or something, and they give reverence to someone or something that's going to get them in trouble. Revelations 2 verses 2 and 5 says, I know your works. You labor and your endurance, and that you cannot tolerate evil. You hate You have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and you have found them to be liars. You also possess endurance and have tolerated many things because of my name and have not grown weary. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember then how far you have fallen. Repent and do works you did at first. Otherwise, you will come and you will remove the lampstand from its place unless you repent. Not just the people that asked for a king, but those that went along with it. And to this day, when we look at our government and the laws of this land and where they come from and how they go against what our Creator wanted for us, we are choosing man over our Creator. This day I put before you life or death. Choose one and you may live. Do you honor Yahweh or do you honor man? You cannot serve two masters. But the people were confused and they did not say a word. They did not say a word. We need to remember the days before the kings, and we need to remember the warning that Samuel gave when he gave us the king. It was a clear warning and the people ignored it, just like when Yeshua went to heal the girl from death and they laughed in his face. Yahweh said, you want a king and this is all he's going to do and give you and everything else. And they said, we don't care. We want a king. They went to Moses and says, we don't want to hear from God. We want a mediator. They went to every length possible to avoid connecting with our Creator. And our Creator wants us to come to him and love him and be in communication with him. The people said, no, we don't want to be in direct communication with him. No, we don't want him to lead us. No, we don't want to list him. No, we don't want to follow his ways. No, we want to follow his laws. Hosea 4:6 says, my people destroyed for lack of knowledge about me. Because you have forgotten me, I forget you. I will no longer let you be priests for me. Not only will you suffer, but your children will suffer. We need to understand the love that we need to give him and repent. Jeremiah 2:32 says, does a young woman forget her jewelry, a bride, her wedding adornments? Yet my people have forgotten me, days without number. Proverbs 23:26 says, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes delight in my ways. Let your life delight, your eyes delight in my ways. That's what we have to get back to. That's what we have to get back to. Genesis 32:26, all the way at the beginning. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go until you bless me. Exodus 33:18 says, then Moses says, now show me your glory. And Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. How many of you are ready to seek him? Not with some of your heart, not just sometimes, but all the time. 1 Chronicles 22:19 says, now devote your heart and your soul to seeking Yahweh your Elohim. Begin to build the sanctuary of Yahweh your Elohim so that you may bring back the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh and the sacred articles belonging to Yahweh into the temple that we built for the name of our Creator. We read in the other day, we read about Haggai, and we read about how the people had luxurious houses, but they were not even building Yahweh his house yet. John 7:37 says, oh, on the last and the greatest day of the festival, Yeshua stood and said out loud, let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. People are seeking earthly drinks, and they're not getting full. They're putting money in their pockets as if there was holes in their pockets that keep falling out. Nothing is going their way, but they keep avoiding Yahweh. And he says, seek me. Anyone who comes, I will give them the drink. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, seek Yahweh in his strength. Seek his face continually. Continually. Not once, but continually seek him. Continually seek him. Proverbs 3:32 says, For the forward is abomination to Yahweh, but his secret is with the righteous. John 15:15 says, no longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from you, my Father, I have made known to you. And Romans 8:28-29 says, and we do that in all things. Yahweh works for good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those Yahweh foreknew, he also predestined to be comforted to the image of Yeshua. of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time we made Yahweh the important, most important thing in our lives and given him our time, our devotion, not the sacrifice of animals, but the sacrifice of our heart he wants. Give him our time. Ephesians 1, verse 4 and 5 says, "For he chose us in before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Yeshua our Messiah in accordance to his pleasure and will." And Colossians 1:16 says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." The problem is people are still looking for an earthly king. People are not running to our creator. Do not forget our creator. It says, "Come close to me and I will be close to you." Deuteronomy 6:12 says, "Then take care, lest you forget Yahweh, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery." Deuteronomy 8:11-14 says, "But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget Yahweh, your Elohim, and disobey his commandments, regulations, and decrees that I am giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and your herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget Yahweh your Elohim, who rescued you from slavery." Do you hear that? And hear what I just read. And then I look at what we discussed the other day. Where is it? It's Haggai, first Haggai. And it talks about, he just said in Deuteronomy 8:11-14, "At that time when you're prosperous, do not forget Yahweh." But it says in first Haggai, it says, this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says, the people are saying, "The time has not yet come to rebuild the house of Yahweh." Then Yahweh sent his messages to the prophet Haggai. And "Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? While my house lies in ruins. Look at what happened to you. You have planned much, but harvest little. You eat, but you are not satisfied. You drink, but you're still thirsty. You put on clothes, but you cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear, so you were putting them in pockets filled with holes." Look what's happened to you. Look what's happening to you. Again, I read you Deuteronomy 8:11-14. "But that is a time to be careful. Beware that your plenty you do not forget Yahweh your Elohim and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that he's given you. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget Yahweh who rescued you from slavery in Egypt." And this is exactly what we see happening here in the scriptures of them forgetting him. It's happened previous to this, it happened after this, and it happened all throughout scriptures. They forgot him. They forgot him. Before they were in slavery, after they were in slavery, they wanted another king. Oh, they got their king, and look at the trouble it got them in. Sometimes Yahweh's going to let us suffer from our own issues. Galatians 3:13 says, "Yeshua redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole." And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For Yahweh made Yeshua, who never sinned, to be the offering of our sin, so that we could be made right with Yahweh through Yeshua." He died for us. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? We need to love him with all our heart. Psalms 119:47-48 says, "I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. And I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. I will meditate on your statutes." Psalms 119:2-3 says, "How blessed are those who observe his testimonials, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They will walk in his ways." His ways. He said, "No king. This is what's going to happen. Don't do it." But the people asked for a king. He said, Get out of this room. I will heal this girl. And they laughed in his face. How many of you are going to continue to doubt? Or how many are you going to submit? John 14, 23, 24 says, Yeshua replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. How much do you love him? How much do you love him? Philippians 1:23 says, but I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Yeshua, for that is very much better. Do you understand the place he has waiting for us? But we must seek him first. Have no other gods before me. Don't take my name in vain. Do not blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Do we understand? Matthew 22:37 says, Yeshua replied, love Yahweh Elohim with all your heart. And with all your soul and with all your might. With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That's what he wants us to do. When you're asking for a king, when you're saying you want to translate it because you don't want to talk directly to our creator, when you're making excuses and looking for loopholes not to follow the commandments of our creator, you are not loving him with all your heart. You're just not. And he wants us to. So I pray that we get serious about this. And I pray that we desire to seek his face. Show me your face, Yah, and your wonderful grace. He died for us. He died for us. Stop giving your reverence to man and start giving it to Yahweh. Don't tell me you didn't have time to pray because you had to run to get to work, to serve another man for money, and you ignore our creator. No, stop giving reverence to anyone. Don't tell me because this person and that person and you don't want to miss an appointment or whatever and then miss your appointments and cut your appointment short with our creator. Don't do it. Don't do it. He calls you to repent and turn from that nonsense. From that nonsense. He is our king and we need to give reverence to him this day and every day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for these devotions at sufferwell.org. And if you all want to see and hear more videos, and audios, I'm on the radio here in morning and night. I'm so blessed for that. You can go to my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org, and you can also go to the Patreon page, patreon.com/TorahLifeMinistries, and praise our wonderful creator. He is good. He is good. This is the day he has made, and it is good. Thank you, everybody. Have a blessed day out there today. Yahweh be with you, and shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33411. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry. I come for life. I come for peace. I come before you on my knees. Lord, hear my cry. You're all I need, oh God. I come to hear my debts have all been paid, and hear my sins are washed away, and hear my soul has found its place at the foot of the cross. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And all my chains fall to the ground. Take this life, I lay it down at the foot of the cross. You gave your life, you bore my shame. My sins are buried in the grave. Without your love,
And we-